To item number 17, agenda item miscellaneous briefing, meeting debrief, and catching my breath. Yes. Anything? Joe? No. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I wanted to just mention, and I was going to talk about this in our Wildlife Committee meeting, but we just ran out of time. But I think there's some really great developments occurring on the wolf non-lethal tactics front that, you know, just it's positive stuff. It's good stuff. I've been working with Stephanie quite a bit on those things, you know, in my job. And there's you know, some shortfall in the funding to help put range riders out there and to help do some of these non-lethal tactics. And so several conservation groups have gone together to raise some money to help the immediate need. And it's really neat because the groups that are doing this, you wouldn't always think, you know, that they would pony up dollars for stuff like this, but it's Humane Society, Wolf Haven, Conservation Northwest, and several others, as well as some folks in the that have retired from the legislature that are working to get these funds. And what it's for is kind of a shifting of how we've been involved in the range riders, is to help pay for a range rider for a rancher. And this is shifting more to the department, you know, having that capacity and having those range riders on contract to go out like what they're doing now in the Profanity Peak Pack, and kind of building up that side of things. And to that extent, we're thinking about and looking towards and focusing on how do we get this job of range riding, which is to me the one of the most practical and effective methods to do something out there, is have that human presence with some direction as well, not just being out there, you know, just riding around on a horse or a four-wheeler, but actually working with those cattle, so that landowners and ranchers are starting to realize that there's an economic bottom line to this that pays. And we all went to some workshops over in Montana in the Tom Miner Basin, and we're learning about low-stress livestock management, holistic management, as tools for ranchers to do a better job in reinstilling the herding instinct in their cattle, which if you have control of your herd and your cattle, you can move them through the grass in a manner that puts on more weight. And by the way, it seems to help with avoiding predation because they're in a herd and they've learned to protect themselves. At that workshop, there was a panel of nine ranchers. One of them was from Washington, who sits on the WAG, Molly. But the other ones were all fifth-generation ranchers from Montana. It was the most powerful panel I've ever witnessed, as they talked about how wolves came into their lives, predators in general, grizzly bears, and how they've kind of adapted and moved through this over the years. And as fifth-generation ranchers are realizing, some of these new tools really do work. And so they're changing their whole operation. Several of them are giving up haying altogether and going to winter grazing. It's really some interesting, incredible, different stuff they're doing. And all of them are practicing some of the lower-stress livestock stockmanship skills that enable them to have a fuller appreciation, I guess, of the ecosystem. And this was just salt of the earth ranchers telling these stories. So we're hopefully going to try to get some of those folks out here next year. There's some training sessions going on there. Hillary Zaranek, who has come and talked to the WAG several times, is a rancher in the Centennial Basin, and we're sending over about five different range riders to go to that here in September. And that's a combination of WDFW contract range riders. It's range riders that we've hired on or help pay for as well. So it's just really neat stuff that's occurring right now. There's a new tool that the Western Sustainability Exchange in Montana is working towards, you know, like eco-friendly beef products, things like that. But they also created a tool. It's a cost-benefit analysis for range riding that shows you, as you input all this data, eventually, you know, you can see where it makes a difference in your bottom line. So it's really neat stuff. Just wanted to update the commission on that. And a little bit of a change in direction, I think, of you know, where is this all going to lie in the end? You know, who's going to continue to help landowners? And I think the department staff and the conflict specialists, and those folks are right at the you know, ground zero for all of this. So,
thank you.
We have a big fee increase coming up, and a very complicated one. One of the things that we talked about yesterday, we moved this forward as a place marker, but I would like to have some time dedicated to the review of the budget in terms of the fee package. I'm talking about specifically hunting and fishing license fee increases. I feel I would like to have the opportunity to review and get more detail about each of those items and what they mean and where the money will be spent, just so I have a better grasp of the package and certain items on it. I know we're going to hear from certain stakeholders. We've heard from CCA already about items on that, but there's more questions than answers at this point. I would be willing to meet or via even a conference call or whatever. I think I would like at intervals between now and September that it needs to go to the governor's office, review elements of that budget. And Joe and I talked about this last week about what would the commission like to do? What's the preference in terms of getting a better understanding of what's being asked in the fee package? And I'd be willing to dedicate some time to that. And I'm not sure what the pleasure of the commission would be, if there's any other members that would like to participate in a closer review of those items. Any thoughts?
Well, that brings up, we do have to talk about a September meeting, so maybe we could do that now as well to see if we wanted to do that.
The September meeting that is currently scheduled is after the information would be submitted to the governor's office.
Right.
So if we wanted to have a September...
We already canceled.
Well, we canceled going to Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
We weren't sure if we were going to have a call at that time, one-day meeting. Where we left it, we were going to discuss it today.
So I'll just throw that out for discussion then. Options are nothing.
Right.
Option two, having a extended conference call. Option three, having a one-day meeting here. So those are, and if somebody's got an option four, throw that one out as well.
Joe,
okay. Just in terms of what Commissioner Graybill's bringing up, I mean, we're willing and able to do whatever you guys need to keep you involved, to keep the oversight there. We're likely to see some changes before the September 16th date to the package you saw yesterday, but I would guess the big changes, if there are some, will occur either between September and the governor's budget coming out, and the governor's budget is going to set a big marker in terms of what the package looks like for the legislative session. So it will be kind of an ongoing thing, not to mention the session itself, where the commission may want to, you know, have some insights, have some detail, et cetera. So it's not to derail the September meeting discussion, but just as you think about how you want to be involved, just recognize it's going to be evolving, and probably more so after the September 16th date than before.
So I'll look at that as option four then, because we could then have briefings in the next meeting.
As I recall, we thought on the teleconference we didn't have enough items to make an agenda, and I thought we canceled the meeting. I've already rescheduled other stuff to do.
That was just something that we said. It popped up a one-day meeting if needed. But
right.
Yeah. So
my thoughts would be, if the only thing on the agenda is for us to learn more about the budget, we could do that in a teleconference and not cost a lot of money to all come back over here.
Mm-hmm.
One other consideration is, oh, I'm sorry, you want to go ahead?
No.
Go ahead.
Well, the Fish Committee, the four of us on the Fish Committee, sometime the middle, I don't know, the sometime between the 10th and the 15th, I don't even know what days those are of the week, we're going to be meeting with the Oregon Commission again on Columbia River policy, probably here as opposed to in Vancouver. And so if we're going to try and do something in the spirit of communication and travel and cost, maybe we could do a half day on the budget.
When is that going to be?
Well, we haven't said it yet.
Oh,
that's the
right. September? That's something.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be
during
September.
The week or the weekend.
It could be. It'd probably be during the week.
Okay.
That, so.
Okay. Well, that's option five.
Narrowing the
option. Yes, right.
Well, one. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go.
Watch your cup. One thought that I had is that given that we're embarked on a fairly ambitious fee increase, budget increase, and we are the sounding board for the public, having us hold a hearing might be helpful. You know, because it allows people to, you know, vent at us, not just staff. Sometimes that's helpful. Not enjoyable for us, but I can see all the enthusiasm for this idea.
Jim.
Yeah, so there is strategy here. We initiated our listening sessions and put together what the people would like for the future. This spring we priced that out for them. And we've got a package that lays out pretty clearly, I think, where we've tightened our belt, what it looks like if we move forward without a budget, a fee increase, you know, what a partial fee increase might look like, and then what it would cost to fund everything that people ask. I'm confident that then now we're doing this next round of sessions. We're getting some good feedback. I think we're going to have to pull back or reshape some of this stuff for a couple of reasons now. One is because we pushed pretty hard. I know that from just a dollar standpoint. The other part is now's an opportunity to show some responsiveness that the department did listen. That lame brain idea they threw out there first is softened a bit. We can't soften it too much, but we can show some movement. And so what Dave is talking about, I think, is would be a good idea, because some of you have some really pretty close interactions with the recreational community. It might be, I'm not sure when we fit it or when we put it in, but to have a conversation about what is the right fee increase and how do you shape some of the detail of these things. You and I talked yesterday, the catch record card's a good example. We have it priced up there, $17 right now. It's got 20 slots on it, 30 slots. Most guys or gals, they go and catch one or two salmon in a year. We could roll that thing back to have a 6-fish slot, reduce the price to $10, and then the guys that we know that love to brag about how many cards they buy and fill up might have to buy 2 or 3 cards. So there's some other ways to skin this cat, and those are the things I think we need to shape this with now. And that's where maybe an ad hoc or a smaller budget committee might be real helpful for the next few months. That would make sense to me. But if we want to do a full committee and a hearing, I think a hearing's fine. I wouldn't want a hearing right now because people would come and say, you're doing this and you're going to shove it down our throats. And yeah. I'd rather be in control of shaping the pricing and the package before and let them see that, no, the department's listening. That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah.
So Larry's idea about, I mean, if the Fish Committee's here, that's 4 bodies. Mm-hmm. I could come down, you know, and then if other people wanted to, maybe we could do half a day around that. We have minimal cost, I mean, because
Sure. We're already obligated to meet with Oregon. And
yeah. But that would be an open pub.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be an open public meeting.
Yes. I mean, yeah, if more we add Brad.
Oh, then I don't need to come.
See, I just gave you a perfect.
But I don't have to stay for that meeting.
You're back in, Brad.
Well, we could, I think, you know, I don't know, do we need to decide exactly?
No, we have a conference call in another week and a half, so I think if we have some more guidance from what would be beneficial from our input into you guys.
Joe, do you know the timeline when you think we kind of need a pretty final looking package for the legislature? But tell me how it works. I don't know all the nuances.
Well, you know, there's behind the scenes kinds of things, and there's production and whatnot. If we're going to submit a package by the 16th of September, we pretty much have to have it nailed down 3 or 4 days ahead of time, you know, so we can get it printed and copied and distributed and all that stuff and do all the accounting fundamentals. And then it goes to the governor's office, and it'll sit down in the governor's office, and they'll make their decisions after the November revenue forecast for the budget. So about the second week of November, you'll see the annual revenue forecast. By then, they've worked through all of the agencies, and they've gone back and forth with the agencies. So that mid-November, October to mid-November is a key time to try to shape what the governor's going to decide to do. And then they go into a production mode through the last part of November, the first part of December, for the entire state budget. And it's pretty much a black box. You don't really know what they're doing. And So if you were to have a meeting with the Fish Committee, the earlier the better, if it's going to be significant in terms of detail and potential changes and whatever. And then, you know, thinking about what we do over the course of the fall as we interact with the governor's budget, that's probably more of an FYI kind of thing or a fatal flaw, you know, if we were to find some big deal. And then between the middle of December and the middle of January when the legislature starts, you got the holidays in there, but we're also working legislators. That's when we start to get intense with the lobbyists from these groups and the legislators themselves. And so that's maybe a different type of involvement for you.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah.
Answered your question.
I mean, just an example, too, Dave and the director, maybe you've gotten a briefing of it, but when Joe talks about changes that happen in the governor's office, I mean, one, I can remember this distinctly for the last go-round, our fee proposal that, you know, wasn't successful is, you know, we had a fee proposal at somewhat similar, maybe scaled back from this proposal. But what the governor's budget actually did was take some of the additional revenue generated by these fee increases and then apply that not to increase monitoring or fishing hatcheries, but rather to pay to give employees a raise. I mean, to kind of fund the labor agreement. So, I mean, it's going to change from the time something that we propose to the governor, the department submits to the governor, till it comes out in November, December.
December.
So then that's probably the time really that we need to engage with stakeholders and say, this is the package, this is where you go to your legislator and tell them this is what we want or what we want changed. So that's kind of how it, and that's to put that into kind of concrete perspective of how the process works, because what we submit in or what the department submits is going to be, you bet, it's going to be different. You hope not, but
well, that's kind of why we've started at a pretty high mark, starting place, because we know the package will be compromised from here on out.
Bob, are you saying then you don't think it's worth our while to meet on this early September? Is that
well? I didn't say that necessarily, but I mean I think that's something that to consider if you know before we get too vested. And tell our stakeholders this is going to be the package, You know, you, I think you have to have in the back of your mind, this may not be the final package.
Well,
I just want to say one thing, Director, if I may. When we left the meeting with Oregon, we talked about having a meeting shortly after the Labor Day holiday. We didn't pick a day, but maybe you can follow up with Ron and you with Kurt, or so we can get that date at least for this Fish Committee meeting. And then if we want to wrap it around some budget discussion, we can make that decision.
Yeah, and I left Oregon thinking that one of the dates that might work for all of us was the canceled commission date. Well, was I did or did that?
I don't recall. It was kind of loosey-goosey.
I'll follow up on that meeting, and then I'll let everybody know.
And that would be fine with me.
So, Kurt and I said, well, let's talk probably this next week.
And then, Bob, I would be happy to spell you. I mean, if you wanted to do, you know.
Well, no, I don't. I think part of it is the commercial fee proposal too. So I mean, it's not just recreational.
Right.
I don't think we're going to have as much challenges, perhaps, from the commercial, at least the guys that I represent. But I think that's part of the package, and I need to be there for a discussion.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Brad. And I just remind you that Miranda made the suggestion that it be an open meeting for an opportunity to have the commission get it once more out in front of our stakeholders. So if that's what we're looking at, then there's no need to keep it down to a minority of the commission.
Yeah. And I've been on the commission maybe too long, but it has raised in my mind the sense that, you know, we have never had this conversation about what our role is. And when I bring up listening to the public, it might be painful for us. It might be tedious. It might be boring. It might be offensive sometimes. But it is part of our role. And showing to the public that we're on the job, holding the department accountable. And things like budgets really set the direction in a very palpable, direct, significant way. So in the past, I remember, I don't know if Connie was involved in a conference call on the budget that went into excruciating detail. I think that conference call was 6 hours, 5 hours long, with no breaks. It was ridiculous. But we had regular updates through the ledge session weekly. But we were being informed. And when we went through the Great Recession budget cuts, we were developing budget policies. So this is what we thought of our role in those days. Now, I'm not saying we have the only concept of how a commission adds value to the department, but we took our job very seriously in those days, and I happen to be in favor of that kind of engagement by the commission, because we're it. We're the board of directors, and we have seen when a board of directors gets lazy and unengaged, disengaged, the department ran into tremendous problems. Joe can attest to this. This was the reason for the Burke report. And it was very, very critical of the commission's negligence.
Right.
So.
Well, I think that there's a lot of questions right now, and if we invited the public, I wouldn't know what they're talking about. I need to go through item by item each of those things so I know what's going on. And we've already recognized some of them don't belong. We've already recognized there's some key issues that could be addressed. That's why I want to be able to answer questions intelligently by going through the process before we meet the public. Some of these are never, why present it to the public if it's not even going to be there? There is an interval, but I think it's early in the process to do that. But I agree. I agree with what you're saying, but it's so early. And I think we need to communicate with whomever in the department. Jim and I have already talked about issues that he knows I'd be familiar with on the fishing side. The two J's down there can probably help in terms of answering questions or directing budget people to items on the hunting side that maybe crop up as issues. I think we need to have some communication. And then there is the opportunity in September to meet with, have the Fish Committee, or one, at least members of the Commission, to get together at that point and move it further down the road. So they can do their jobs of getting this packaged to present. We need to be sensitive to their time frame. And we can do this, a lot of this, over the phone.
Yes.
And you know, I'm willing to take some responsibility to go through this review and dedicate some time to it. But then I don't want to operate independently and speak for the commission on this either. So, you know, I can provide a report, or maybe it would be reflected in the review in September about the items that we altered or suggested to change. I want to be transparent in terms of my activity if I'm communicating with the department, but I'm willing to dedicate some time.
I agree with everything you said. I just want to clear up for me, when Jennifer Kwan came around and talked to many of us, I don't know if everybody had that opportunity or had the time, it really cleared up a lot for me what this is about. Mm-hmm. It's about, are we going to get the things that the public has told us they want from Wild Futures?
Right.
Are we going to, you know, make up the difference from all the past budgets where we haven't had enough to do what we needed to do? It's about, you know, are we going to have enough enforcement officers? And it wasn't about recreational versus commercial versus ballast tanks versus hunters versus deer hunters and elk hunters versus cougar and bear hunters. It's not about how we can shift it around. It's about what drops off the plate if we don't have these increases. And as long as we keep that in our focus, I mean, this is, the people are giving us clear messages through the Wild Futures, and it's going to continue on. And if we say, okay, you know, it's a 10% increase in your hunting licenses. If we don't do that, you don't get your game wardens. You don't get this. You don't get this. And I think people, given that knowledge, like we were given by Jennifer coming around, I felt very comfortable with, across the board, let's do it. Now there's probably some tweaks that need to be made, and we're not going to come out the other end as good as we hoped, but we got to keep that in mind. This isn't the typical, you know, divvying up the resource between different users. This is, we're either going to make this work, or we're going to be in some serious trouble.
Yeah, if I could just say something. Yeah, I think that discussion was missing yesterday. I mean, I think we need a doomsday discussion.
I do too.
Yes, and I'm sure Joe has thought about this. Where do you cut if you don't get these revenue increases from, say, the recreational fishing community? What's your strategic plan with regard to how you're going to approach this? We didn't hear any of that yesterday in the discussion, and but my sense is, in having been on this commission as long as I've been on this commission, is things are closing in on us. I mean, it seems to me like we have a good opportunity here, a bad opportunity, where the walls are going to cave in on us on this, and I think we have to be really strategic. If, for example, you don't get the support from the recreational fishing community that you really need to have, and it's time for them to step up to the plate. If they don't step up to the plate, what do you do? Do you begin to start looking at hatcheries and cutting hatcheries?
Yep.
What do you do in the case of the Skokomish, where now we're supplying virtually all of the fish to the Skokomish tribe from the George Adams hatchery? Do you say, okay, it's not benefiting our fishermen? Do we begin to cut back on this on the George Adams hatchery? Do we maintain a small population of fish so that we have fish coming back that we can access if things get better? I think we need to have that kind of strategic discussion on the big ticket items on the budget. Maybe I'm wrong.
We've developed that kind of list.
already. It's available. We got real strong feedback from the legislature on the last the last fee increase, that they are sick of hearing us come with the, you know, we're going to close down the Statue of Liberty kind of arguments. But there's realities there. And Connie, you've talked about a couple of them. The hatchery system is begging for an efficiency overhaul on a big scale. It really is. And those are things it would be really nice to do in a period of some financial stability, so we could make good objective decisions. But anyway, Joe has the list of the kind of things you're talking about. We have that in our back pocket.
And we're also, just to add two things, you know, it matters whether it's a general fund reduction or we don't get what we ask for versus the fee increase. Those dollars go to specific places, like the Mitchell Act. You know, so there's different lists for different scenarios. We're getting together, I think, this next week with the ADs, Jim and I, to kind of finalize some of that stuff. That's exactly the kind of thing we'd like to share with you all in the sort of post September 16th to the November time frame, so we can be messaging, if this doesn't happen, here's what it looks like on the ground. And then the other point I had was I can't remember, but
there's a whole bunch of these color of money issues. Arguments, you know, certain hatcheries are 90% funded with state general fund, and I could argue
there's
that's
16 of them out of the 83 are general fund.
Yeah, and wow. So how could you reshape that? What's the most appropriate way to spend general fund dollars? I mean, I can think of enforcement, wildlife diversity kinds of things that make more sense than some of our hatchery operations. But that's the kind of discussions I think would be really nice to have without being under the pressure of just making ends meet.
You have to be kind of careful about presenting the doomsday scenario, though, because it gives ideas to those who might act on it. So we have to be pretty careful with that strategy. The other thing that I wanted to point out is, in terms of the education process that you're talking about, we certainly, I know you're probably having EMT meetings that are just out the wazoo. We can probably go to our local staff. I know Pizangra can talk budget with circles around my head. So if we want to stay up to date, that's another option, is we just go to our regional managers and say, hey, you know, what's the latest? And I think that we can get that information. Wouldn't that work, Jim? Or
when is our October meeting, Tammy?
We have two conference calls in October, the 7th and the 21st.
And so then we have another face-to-face in November?
November 4th.
Well, that would certainly be an opportunity for to hear from some public.
Yeah, that would be the time.
Is something that's made me a little uncomfortable about the Wild Futures approach was the idea of going to people and saying, what do you want? Without a price tag. And we know in the real world everything has a price tag, and you gear your desires according to what you think it's worth. And you weigh, you know, your options. You have to make choices in life. So to go throughout the state and say, what do you guys want? And then get a huge list, then come up with a price tag on that list, kind of removes the choice from the public. So we have to give that back to them somehow, or at least get their thinking about the choices, the hard choices that will be made.
That's what we're trying to do now.
That's what we're trying to do now.
Yeah. Miranda, that's a really good point, because I felt that the documents that were distributed in Wild Futures said, hey, we listened, and these are the things you wanted. It should have said, okay, you wanted more enforcement. That means we're going to, with this budget cycle, request these dollars. So they know, okay, we wanted enforcement. That's what it's going to cost. And so there was an opportunity, and I think the opportunity still exists, to distribute that and say, okay, you wanted more fishing opportunity. We're going to, these dollars through catch record cards or just fee increases will deliver these opportunities. And then they'll say, am I going to support this or not? You know, then they can relate that to their wants.
So Jennifer didn't show you that detail when she visited with you? Or?
Yeah.
Well,
we have that
yeah.
list.
Yeah.
These are the line items.
But it wasn't into great depth at that point.
There wasn't enough substance, I felt, in what was distributed publicly. It was just sort of broad strokes.
That's another thing we can keep doing. We can
meet
with you one-on-one, or as Kim said, our regional folks, our regional leadership has been part of these discussions all
over. Yeah, we have all that detail. I mean, we have right down to the $450,000 for increased enforcement to monitor Skagit catch and release fisheries or whatever it was.
I have that list, and that's what I wanted to walk through. There's 40 items on that list, and I would feel better being able to ask 40 questions. You know, I think we need, and then we're going to reduce that list and change it. So
let me just try to circle this around because we got to move on. Larry wants to bring up something else, and we have a couple more items. But if it's all right with all of you, why don't we have, since the Fish Committee is going to be here, I think having four more eyes or four more sets of eyes look at this.
I'm only good for one.
Or whatever. I mean, I think that makes sense because they're here anyhow, and then you can relay that back to us, and that'll just be the next step in an ongoing process that we will have the public again in November. So is that?
I think that's putting the rocks in the basket.
Oh, no. In the box.
Too late.
Tammy was back here, had an idea, too, that maybe she could send out some of this detailed information to all of us so when we have time, we can sit and look through and think about it.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good idea.
So this is a continuing process.
Yeah.
Because you know? Everything made sense to me. But okay, yeah.
For once, I sat here quietly.
Thank you.
I do want to side in with Conrad because I do, right winger, paranoid. I could see where the economy could spin off pretty quickly. We're not able to sell logs right at the moment, and that is generally a really good indicator that there are people with a lot of smarts not thinking that the economy is going to be doing good. So, granted, even at status quo, we're running short. But I still think in the back of our minds, we need to be thinking a little bit ugly on this deal and planning for it. And I've told a bunch of you, as the way I stand right now, I'm going to be getting about 40% out of my steers, or a 40% cut on my steers, what I were 2 years ago. I live in that world of planning bad. And then if there is extra, and you put on rosy-colored glasses in my world, you're going to be out of business shortly. So I think what Mr. Mankin said was very astute, and I think we need to listen to it. And one last thing is, I've been around here enough to know about the different colors of money and how they work, but in the real world, when the department owns all the ground they do, and with fish restoration projects where they're just basically pissing money away, just so they can say that they built 5 miles of fence along a creek, whether it did a damn bit of good or not, or $300,000 to put in bridges across a creek, and you drive up there and there's grass growing that deep in front of the bridge to justify what they're doing. Yeah, I think we need to take a long, long, hard look at a whole bunch of things. And yes, I can dang well see where we're spending $6 million for fish food, and I'm sorry I got hung up on that. That is money well spent, and people are glad to pay for it. Law enforcement, people are glad to pay for those kind of things. But budgets don't always just keep growing on an inclining plane. There's times that tough decisions have to be made. I'm in businesses that have no semblance of what they look like 10 years ago, let alone 20 years ago. Hard decisions have to be made. And really look how we are spending money, because we are spending a lot of the public's money, and we need to remember to look at every dollar that gets spent and spend it wisely.
Thank you. You have one more or an item?
Well, I just want to put a placeholder in as it relates to the two people that made open public comment today, that when we meet next, I would propose we have an executive session with the AG's office to talk about that issue. I've just had two emails about some chaos relating to that area since we've been here. So I think it is something we're going to have to drill down on it. And I think, Director, that will give some time to for you and perhaps Mike to strategize on some considerations.
Yeah, we need to hear.
In person, so yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And we need to discuss the 2017 calendar. Is that just to everybody's seen it, right?
It's in your notebooks under yeah. tab 17.
So,
we've all seen it. We don't have to decide when we're going to Eastern Washington or anything like that, but just if everybody's good with the dates, meetings, et cetera.
Okay. We'll have a party at Jay's house.
We'll get over there.
You can take one of those steers, put it on the Barbie for us.
Well, we can have a band there to play music.
Okay. We got that on
Brian
tape.
Brian won't like my kind of music.
If you want to look at this one more time, we can decide on the 19th.
You got it recorded now, Jay, so you know your commitment is already down there. Can we decide? Are you done with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is nice to...
Any opposition? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right, there you go.
What did we just decide on?
Sure. And we have a conference call on the 19th, so mark that down. And is there anything else? No? Yes.
Real quickly... The big tent committee met this morning for the first time since I've been on the commission.
Now you're chair.
And what we're doing is taking a look into the a little bit into the future of Wild Futures and other projects, and really trying to take a serious stab again at funding diversity and a lot of the department's activities that our traditional stakeholders feel that they're funding not necessarily to their benefit. The Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies did an effort and has come up with ideas on the federal side for funding these activities. They're serious potential. A bill's been dropped in this Congress, not with the idea that it will pass. And it's time for states to start looking at what they're going to do. There will be a state obligation, and so that's the discussion that we're having. We're looking at the role that the commission is going to play in this, hopefully a leadership role. And I think we all felt that it was kind of a no-brainer, and so you'll be seeing this shortly.
Yeah, this is good stuff. Good stuff. Okay. All right. Item 18,